Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. Thank you for joining us in this new episode. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests, Brother Liaqat and Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, both of you.
Alaykum assalam.
And just as the ritual of this program goes, I would like you to introduce yourself very briefly so that we can get into the very heart of discussion. So let's start with Sister Zainab.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and assalamu alaikum. Yes, this is Zainab Askari. I'm from Kashmir, Indian administrated Kashmir. And I've been living in Iran for some 10 years now and studying Hausa here.
Very good. Thank you for joining us, Sister Zainab. And you, Brother Liaqat?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Muhammad Liaqat Abbas from India. And right now I'm pursuing my master's in psychology. And my interest is in history, Islamic history, as well as psychology. Thank you.
Thank you both of you very much for joining us in today's episode. Well, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fun debates and discussions in here. There is this notion and ideology that I don't know comes from where, but there are many people out there from the inside of the Islamic societies and from the outside of it, like the non-Muslim people, would have this idea that religion generally is against happiness and pleasure. We have to discuss this, actually. To what extent is it true? Is it not? Then why people get this idea? From where does come this notion? We have to discuss all of these things, but let's start it this way. How do you react to this notion when you hear it from other people?
When I hear such notions from people, I think they have seen religious rules as too strict. Yeah. And there could be reasons. For example, it's true that many religious teachings limit us from certain things like material excess. But at the same time, we have to keep in mind, it does not restrict pleasure altogether. Mm-hmm. Rather, it gives a much healthier way, much better way to attain pleasure. Or it says that what is it that gives you.
Or it sets some borders for the pleasures.
The itminan of, the contentment of your heart. For example, we have Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. It's indeed in the remembrance of Allah. There's the hearts find peace, solace. So, first of all, I think the first thing is we take some restrictions of religion as the religion is against all
the happiness and pleasures.
Yes. We think that religious rules are completely against the pleasures altogether. Well, as it is against some of them. For example, religion does not allow you to go for casual relationships or just drink alcohol or, have some excess. It teaches us a moderate and balanced life. I think it's our failure to misunderstand that.
Exactly. So, brother, it's very interesting that it's not only about Islam. Like, I guess in all the many movies, many stories, the media generally, its perspective towards religion is that religion is something that would restrict you. That's why it's not happy and it's sad and it's always against your happiness and your pleasures.
Mm-hmm. If we kind of elaborate it more, I would say the religion suggests us to live a very simple life, to be a very generous person who should kind of mostly give away everything for the needy, to live a very kind of basic life, meeting basic needs, and exactly. Everything else is like, this is a religious person. This is the concept of what people have in mind, unfortunately. This person is living in a big house. Oh, he's having a car as well. And the car is also kind of expensive one. So he's not a religious one. You see? Why? Because he's having pleasures. He's having happiness. Yeah. Oh, he also has a swimming pool. Oh, mashallah. He's definitely no way he's a religious person.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
This is the thought of people, unfortunately.
But where does it come from?
Media.
Yeah, I would say, just like the sister has stated. And, I would also see this from the pulpits, unfortunately. Few sheikhs or maulanas or few religious scholars, they kind of put forward in this way, unfortunately. Religion is this.
They take it to the extreme.
Exactly. But when we see this is not the case altogether, I can bring you incidents from the lives of the holy imams.
So I guess the discussion is getting very interesting. We are looking forward to hear those stories. But before that, we have to go for a break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
I'm Asma, Sister Zainab and Brother Liaqat are in here, and we're having an interesting discussion about is really religion against happiness and pleasure? And then we got to the point that Brother mentioned he's got some incidents from the lives of scholars, and he wanted to share that.
Yeah, so the thing which I wanted to share over here is from the life of Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, where a person sees Imam Baqir alayhi salam extremely tired, and he was taking the help of the companions even to walk. He was that tired. And he was looking at a piece of land, like how it is and how much will it get, like how much can I purchase it for and stuff like that. And then a person goes to Imam Baqir al-Islam. He was like, what will happen if death approaches you? You are going and pursuing your worldly affairs. For this, the Imam removes his hand from the companions and he says, if death were to claim me at this very moment, I would leave this world in service and worship. Because this work is essential, an act of devotion and service to God. You might think that worship is only through prayer and supplication, but I have a life and expenses. If I don't work and put in effort, I would have to rely on you and others like you. I'm seeking sustenance to fulfill my needs independently. I should be fearful of death approaching only if I'm engaging in sin and breaking divine commands, but not if I'm obeying God's command by not being a burden on others and striving to earn my own livelihood. So this was the reply. And you know what? Like, I have seen number of incidents from the life of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, from Imam Ali al-Islam as well, where he says, Wailaka, woe be upon you. Why are you living a very simple life when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed a beautiful life for the believers, and he has given everything, like it is for the believers to enjoy life, you see. And when the opposite person was like, oh Imam, even you live a life like this, a very simple life, like you don't eat much and stuff like that, the Imam was like, my life is different than yours. I'm a leader, like I'm a caliph at that time, and I have to live like this in order to see the poor people. Right. But your life is different. You are different to me. You're not the caliph. You're not the leader. Yeah. A leader's responsibility, a caliph's responsibility is different to a normal person.
Because the poor are also looking at them, and they
expect them. So the Imam would try to live like the poor people, so that they don't get offended, you see.
Or frustrated.
So it's everything. Yeah. Sister Zainab.
Yeah, the same, the hadith that you explained before this, the same answer was also given by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and he was seen working in the field in a hot summer day. And the man said, I would advise this man who is going through worldly pleasures this time. And when he closely sees Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and says, what if death claims you at this point of time? And Imam replies the same thing. I would die in the state of
worship. You know why? We have this thing almost in every single Imam's life.
Right.
Because Imams used to work. Imams used to earn their livelihood.
I think why this discussion came up here is just because some people also misinterpret that, okay, religion is against me earning and having a good worldly life. And
against me traveling, against me having fun with my friends,
or
against
earning
me
for having a good sustenance, having a better life. That's why I think this point came up. Other misinterpretations of religious teachings, I think some religious followers present a harsh and extreme wave of religion. They make it seem like happiness is sinful. This is one reason why people think that religion is all against our happiness and pleasures, because some believe that they also have, you in the beginning of the episode told us, why do you think these people think this way? Because they think pleasure is equal to worldly life.
Imam Kazim al-Islam has a hadith where he suggests one part of your day should be for pleasures. So example,
when you divide time.
One part of your day should be
devoted.
One part for worship, one part for halal risk, that is earning livelihood. One part is for pleasures. You see how importance Islam has given for pleasures and happiness?
Exactly.
Because, and the Imam says it's actually all the other parts of your day are dependent on this part, that is your pleasures. Because if you don't have happiness, if you don't have pleasures in your life, the other parts or your worship is going to get affected. Your earning style is going to get affected. That was very beautiful.
I remember that I heard it from a scholar, and it was very interesting at the moment that I heard it. He said that even if you're eating a perfect food in a great restaurant, and you have this intention that I'm trying to eat healthy because I want to be a better obedient of God, then that would be considered as a thing that deserves a reward. Mm-hmm. Then you are just stepping in the direction that God has planned for you. If you have the intention that all I'm doing is in the eyes of God, I'm doing this for my body to stay healthy, for my brain to work better, all these things would help you to be a better obedient. So sometimes these ideas is there because people would look at some preachers who are having this very strict idea about religion. But we have to go for a break and then we'll come back to see the answer. So before we go for the break, I was just saying that some of the preachers try to depict religion as a sort of very sadful thing, like you have to forget about the worldly, materialistic world, forget about everything that is phony and flashy. But then, is it really truthful?
No.
Like, I guess Brother Lerat can relate to that more because you have seen much of those scholars.
Definitely. Unfortunately. You know, actually, what they see is actually the first part of the religion, when the religion of Islam was introduced into this world, basically by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. It's actually I'm not telling from my side, it's actually by Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where a group of Sufis come to Imam and they were like, you are like this and you are like that and you are living a very nice life. Look at your grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to live a very... Then the Imam was like, what happened to you? And he gives a big lecture to them.
Yeah.
And you know, they're like, there are pages on it. Yeah?
Yeah.
And the Imam says that part of life was different. People had nothing, almost nothing. But now the Islamic society has increased. It expanded and the economies have grown. The financial status has really increased and Muslims are living a very good life. And right now, it's good for me to enjoy the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what the scholars do is they take only that part of Islam, that is the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when there was really difficult, there were difficult situations, and they do not mention the life history of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq al-Islam and the other Imams. They don't see this part of Islam that the Imams have given.
So it changes based on different eras and based on the economic status of each era.
Right. I would like to add here, like I was removed from a family group by my cousins when they got to know that I'm studying Islamic studies. Because they thought that I would not allow them to joke, I would be serious. Why this stereotype? I think it's the media that often portrays the religious people as sad. It portrays the religious people as serious and deprived.
Yeah.
No fun. No
fun. You're not allowed to have fun. You're not allowed to have joke. While as in Islam, in many ahadiths, we have been said that if you make a Muslim smile, it's a worship. It's a form of worship. So see what we have in ahadiths and how media is portraying this stereotype in the minds of people.
So there's a paradox. Still, we have a lot to talk about, but then again, we're running out of time. So thank you. It was pretty interesting and fruitful. I guess we touched upon the major ideas that we have to consider while defining religion and depicting it for other people. I hope you stay healthy and happy until another session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Allah.
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رزقك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رزقك لتصيد ليلتك once again.